Our time together. And Father, we pray right now that as, Lord, we're lifting up before you our needs and as it is appropriate, Lord, we pray right now, Father, for answering our prayers, even late last night and early this morning, regarding Lord Pastor Harka in Nepal. Father, we pray that you would shield them, protect them, guide them, watch over them. And Father, that your mighty Holy Spirit would be there so present and so great, so strong. Lord God, that those judges or officers, municipalities, the neighbors, people there in that village, Father, would know that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Father, we pray that same thing here for our community. And Lord, where we all come from, Lord, people from just right locally here, Lord, and people so far away, Lord, as Huntington Beach and Newport and Pasadena. Lord, people from Lake Arrowhead, even. We ask you, Father, that wherever we go back to in our communities, that, Lord, you would affect those places for Jesus Christ. And we know that you want to do that. We know that you want to do that through us. So we ask it, Lord, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Yeah, listen, do keep that in mind. Pastor Harka, do you remember a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month ago, we had Pastor Harka up here. We prayed for him. Do you remember? Little tiny guy from Nepal. He was arrested yesterday for having a Bible study in his house. And the government came in. It's against the law to be a Christian in Nepal. And so he and his wife were arrested. They were interrogated for 8 to 9 hours. Thank God they were released. While you were sleeping, they were released in the early hours of this morning. And so, but they're under observation. The government warned them, we're going to be watching you. No more speaking in Jesus' name. And so we need to be praying for him and for the witness that's there. There's a lot of little kids that are street kids that are dependent upon him and his wife taking care of them. So he has invited them to come into the home and listen and watch. But we need to pray. You know, we have no idea what in the world is going on. We live in a Hollywood kind of a world here. You came here today. You even thought, well, should we go or not go? Should we go or should we not go? What do you want to do? You want to go or not go? And you came. There's no risk to your life coming this morning. I mean, you may be bored stiff, but there's no risk to your life coming this morning. But there are people in this world who have to contemplate, if we go, we could die today. So we need to pray. Listen, grab your Bibles this morning and turn to Luke chapter 11 and... we are in verses 5 to 13 this morning, and we just came through 2 weeks of teaching on a Christian praying and what happens when a Christian prays. Well, this morning we're going to learn from Jesus himself about how a Christian should pray. How a Christian should pray. And while you're turning there, I want you to have this picture in your mind. It's not profound. I think we've all been able to see it in our lives, especially if you go to Toys R Us. I think I've seen it there a few times. About how a Christian should pray. And I kid you not when I tell you, have you been there? Have you been going down the aisles? Have you ever been to a store or a toy store usually? And their mommy is shopping. She's got the kids with her. And she meets someone else. There is another mommy there. And so the mommy start talking. Hey, how you doing? How's things going? Did you get the curtains for your house? They start talking about whatever they talk about. And they're talking. Well, the kids... they're at Toys R Us. And now mommy and mommy, they're all they're in another world about what they ought to hang on their walls or paint, you know? And you'll see the little boy say, Mom, pulling on her shirt or something. Mom, can I have this? Mom, can I have this? Mom, mother, can I have this? Mommy. Mom, mother, Betty, can I have this? Don't call me Betty. That'll get her attention. Have you ever seen that happen? I've seen it happen. I used to do it when I was little. We've all done that. And believe it or not, what Jesus is teaching us this morning, literally, he's encouraging us to come to the Father in prayer like that. Same wording. Same activity. You say, Jack, you got to be kidding me. I'm not kidding. How should a Christian pray? Just like Junior at Toys R Us. Father, Father, Lord, Lord, Father, Lord, Abba, Papa. Jesus is going to instruct us to do that. Prayer, as we've been learning, is our communication with the Lord, a dialogue. It's a two-way street when we pray. We pray to share with Him. We pray and hear the answer. And whenever Jesus wanted to teach His disciples something that is so critically important, He was so good and faithful to usually bring up what is called a parable. This morning, verses 5 to 13, we have a parable. And a parable is a verbal teaching that brings a story about in the minds of the listener and the imagination of the hearer in technicolor. It's something that they can relate to. They can almost smell and feel what He's talking about. That's what a parable is. A moment ago, regarding that little child at Toys R Us, you've seen that happen. You understand how that comes down. And so you could relate to it. And so you laughed because you know. Jesus is going to do that with the disciples. He's going to teach something that they all knew about. They, when they heard Him, would have said, oh yeah, yeah, I know how that is. And so He teaches us. Luke chapter 11 verse 5, and He said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut. My children are in bed with me, and I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because he is persistent, he will rise and give as many as he needs. Verse 9. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. To him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, would he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Very interesting teaching that Jesus presents before us here. The intent of this parable, church, Bible student, mark it down. It might surprise you. The intent of Jesus' parable here is not to bring us about to asking more, though it's here taught. It's not to bring us about to seeking or to knocking more, though it's certainly implied in the study that's before us. It's not even about being persistent at prayer. You may think that the parable is about us being persistent, asking, seeking, and knocking. Not at all. That's not the meaning or the thrust of the parable. The thrust of the parable is something that is quite unique. Jesus is going to be teaching us that the nature of the Father, listen, is completely different than that of humans. It is a parable teaching or a parabolic teaching based upon contrast. Jesus is basically saying this, people are this way. That's not how your heavenly Father is. People say things and do things like this. But your heavenly Father says things and does things like this. It's a parable by contrast. Students, remember, parable. Para means to be alongside. Para. Balos or balic teaching is to cast a truth, to cast a statement alongside someone's mind. It's like fishing. In fact, it's a fishing term. You cast the lure right alongside the fish, and the fish looks at it, thinks about it, and concludes, that must be a frog. Or, that must not be a frog. Look how fake it looks. He looks at it and begins to think. Jesus casts this truth alongside the listener's ear so that they can consider, should I take this or not? He's not going to force you to believe it. He's going to tell you how it is. It's your choice to step up to this or not. I highly encourage you, listen to what Jesus has to say. You guys, on the surface, this scripture does not look like that much fun. It almost just kind of looks like just a very clear, straightforward teaching. And it is, but the words that Jesus used make it very exciting. So I want you to get your pen ready. You're going to be quite surprised and I think blessed by what we're going to be seeing. Point number one is this, how a Christian prays. How? a Christian prays is, number one, with audacity. When's the last time you heard that word? That's an old English word. Audacity. Audacity. What does that mean? Well, in Webster's 1828 dictionary, it means with great boldness, with a daring spirit. To be audacious is to have a daring or reckless spirit. To be resolute, that is determined that you're going to go for this thing. Or very confident. It means to be daring or willing to tackle or take on something that is dangerous or challenging, something that's impossible. That's why you see it used in a sentence like this. When they saw the audaciousness of the man, they all were in shock. He approached the task with audacity. He pushed everything off to the side and he began to go for it, even though it was impossible or near impossible. Point number one, that's what we understand in verses 5 through 8, that how a Christian prays, and I'm not talking about kneeling down, standing up, or whatever. I'm talking about the spirit of prayer. How a Christian prays, number one, Jesus tells us, should be with audacity. What does that look like? Number one is this, indifferent of time or timing. To be indifferent. That's the thrust behind verses 5 through 7, that when we pray as Christians, we don't care about time. Why do we not care about time? He said, Jack, I was praying at 2 o'clock this morning. Do you think God heard me? Yes, we pray in an audacious way to God. Jesus is instructing us because, number one, we can. Because our God is always awake. Isn't that awesome? He is always, always listening, never sleeps. There is never a time for prayer. If you had a specific time for prayer, you'd have to wake your God up, set an alarm, so you could pray to Him. Maybe it's 5 a.m., you got to wake Him up. Because He's somewhat of a lesser God. You got to wake Him up, cry out to Him, scream at Him, get His attention. Then He wakes up. Now you can pray. And maybe you'll do that 3 or 5 times a day. That's insane. The God of the Bible, when you pray to Him, He is awake. He's alert. He's listening now. And because that's true, we can be indifferent to time. And He said to them, which of you, having a friend, watch the pathology of this. You got a friend. And go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. So a friend goes to a friend. For a friend of mine, now we got another friend going on here, has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, the guy that's being asked of the bread. He says, don't trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are in bed with me. I cannot rise and give you. I love this. First of all, let's set the stage. This is obviously during the time of Jesus Christ, although some locations still have not changed. A home, a modest home in that part of the world. There are 2 levels to the house. There's the floor that you enter in on, and then about 1 foot to 2 feet higher, usually stones are set up and the dirt put on top. You have earthen walls. You have a wood frame structured roof with thatched roof. And you have this 1 level and then the 2nd level. Again, the 2nd level is only about 1 foot to 2 feet higher than the 1st level. The high level is where the family sleeps. It's where the family eats. The bottom, as to the top, is covered in palm branches or some sort of, thatch material. At night, when you would go to bed at night, you would, watch, mom and dad, put your kids on the upper level, you tuck them in, safe against the wall. Then mom goes in next. And then dad goes out and gets all of the chickens, the ducks, the goat, the donkey, whatever you owned. You would bring them into the lower section, shut the door, and then you would make your way through the ducks and through the chickens and the goats. And then you would go up to the level and you would be there, dad. You would be between, right in the middle, the animals and the family who's safe against the wall, okay? Now, you get all... Can you imagine getting the chickens in your house? You got to do this because people are going to steal them or animals of the night are going to take them. They would bring them in, and then finally dad would say, oh, good night. Junior better not say, can I have a glass of water? You know, you got to get all ready. So they all lay down, and here they are. Now they're sleeping. And there's a knock at the door. Knock. Can you imagine? Knock. People are sleeping. First thing, the knock comes, nobody answers because people are sleeping. Secondly, hey, open up. Hey, get out of here. It's midnight. Go home. I have a friend. He's come and visited me. I need bread. You have three loaves? Listen to this guy. It's midnight. Not one loaf. Not a Twinkie. Here, stand there. I'll throw you a bagel. No, I want three loaves. Get out of here. What are you, crazy? My kids are in bed with me. That's why, in fact, the word, they're in bed with me, that's that. Now you see that in your mind. They're all in bed. Do you understand if I come out to you, I gotta threaten my kids being woken up. If I move, I gotta go over the ducks and the chicken. No way! Get out of here! That's your problem. How would we handle that? Look, it doesn't have to be midnight for us to act like nobody's at the door. We had Jehovah's Witnesses show up at our door yesterday. And God is amazing. I'm studying this verse about a man knocking at the door. I'm sitting there with all my books, having a great time. I got my books, I got my computer, my Bible. What could be better than that? There's nothing better than that. Knock at the door. I look. I get up. I go over there. I talk to them. But I got to tell you, God is so good, they knock on the door when I'm reading the scripture about a man knocking on the door. Now, if I would have sat there and said, God, I'm studying the Bible. I'm hearing from you. I cannot get up, for I am in the presence of God. I had to get up. Because you know what? That's the only way for them to go away. Or they'll put all their literature on your door. You got to get up. And honestly, we got to give them the truth. Can't we, right? We can't let them be there. We've got to give them. And then you tell them Jesus loves you. You tell them about the gospel. You tell them about where, you know, all that stuff. Anyway, it's a great time. But listen, in difference of timing, Jesus says, you come and pray. And he's using the contrast. If a man comes and knocks on the door of his neighbor at midnight, he's creating a situation that his listeners would have said, oh man, don't you hate when that happens? They could relate, just like the kid tugging on mama's skirt at Toys R Us. Oh, brother, I hate when my kids do that. I hate when my husband does that. That's exactly what we're being taught to do, is to be indifferent of the timing. God is open for business at all times. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Colossians 1, 9 says, for this reason, Paul said, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you. And to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and with all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Boy, what a great prayer to pray for Calvary Chapel. For you, for me, for your neighbors. Colossians 1:9. What a great prayer. Well, not only that, but a Christian should pray in this audacious manner, persisting. Being very persistent in calling upon God. Verse 8 goes on to say, I say to you, said Jesus, though He will not rise up and give him because he's his friend. I love that. The guy is not going to get out of bed because it's his buddy knocking at the door. Here's the reason why he's going to get out of bed. In other words, there's a limit to just what you'll do for your friends in the middle of the night. Jesus is saying, look, the guy's not going to get up because he's just so in love with his friend here. He's going to get up because the guy's driving him nuts. Yet because of his persistence, says the Bible. This word persistence, are you ready for this? The word persistence means, like that little kid, absolute shamelessness. You ever known somebody like that? They can't be embarrassed. We've been embarrassed for them. But they don't get embarrassed. Jesus said, when you come and talk to your father like that, and just something's heavy on your heart, important to you, you come like that. You come, and you come persistent, shamelessly. Your friends may be saying, stop praying about that, will you? I mean, God hasn't answered you yet, and you've been praying for like a whole hour. I mean, just give it up. No, I'm going to stay at it. And then they come and they say, man, you've been praying for days about this thing. Just give it up. No, I'm going to stay at it. Then they start to, you know, make excuses for you. Oh, are you going crazy? Are you feeling okay? What's wrong with you? You've been praying for a year for this thing. Give it up. And you say, no, I can't do that. I've got to pray. That's the person Jesus is talking about here. Here's the challenge for us. Is anything that important to us? The welfare of our kids. How important is that to you? important enough for you to get to the throne of God and be shameless about you crying out to God about it? You need a new job? What about your family? What about hearing about what God's telling you to do? What do you want to know? I want to know God's will, Jack. I just want to know God's will. Can you then cry out to Him and knock upon His door, seek Him, and pursue Him shamelessly? Well, I don't want to make a fool of myself. Then get alone and make a fool of yourself. We make fools of ourselves for things so much lesser than that. But I guarantee you, if something is so, so challenging of an issue to us, we will begin to pray like this. Most of our lives have never had something so, so important to us, though, to be quite honest with you. We give up too soon. We quit too soon. Jesus said, persist at it. That's what He's teaching us through the life of this man. Stay at it. Go for it. There's a sense of urgency here that creates a persistence. And that persistence that's brought about because of the urgency brings about a continuance of prayer. Jesus is saying, do that. The persistent calling. Acts chapter 12, verse 5. Peter was in prison. In fact, they were going to behead Peter the next day because it pleased all the Jews that James was killed. And they got all happy about it. So, Herod intended to kill Peter the next day. And the Bible says that the church gathered for prayer and they began to pray and they would not stop praying for Peter. The Bible says an angel showed up and released Peter. Pretty awesome. That's persistent prayer. What about persistent, passionate, relentless prayer? Nehemiah was like that. Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 4 it says, and so it was when Nehemiah heard the words that Jerusalem was torn down, that he sat down and he wept and he mourned for many days and he began to fast and pray before the God of heaven. That's it. Man, that's awesome. God listens. He's always listening. But how important is something to us? Oh, I really want this really bad. How bad do you want it? Hebrews chapter 5, this amazing verse. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 says that in the days of His flesh, it's a reference to Christ, Jesus, He offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears. Well, that's amazing. With loud crying and tears, the Bible says about Jesus. And He prayed to the one who was able to save Him from death. That's His Father. And He was heard because of His much piety or His holiness. Jesus prayed, and here's the Son of God. And He's praying in such a way that He's crying out with tears. It's amazing. Not only persistent prayer to stay at it, keep praying, but desperate. A Christian prays in an audacious way when they're desperate, when we're desperate with need. Jesus said in verse 8, because of His persistence, He will rise and give him as many as he needs. I love it. How many loaves of bread did the guy ask for? Three. But because the guy is now going to get up, three is no longer in his mind. You've seen it 1,000 times. It's as though the guy goes to his cupboard and he grabs 10 loaves and opens the door and says, here, take these. Just get out of here, will you? And you see the guy walking back home. Woohoo! Looks like he's gone to Costco or something. He's got all this stuff. He's got all this bread. And again, Jesus is teaching by contrast. Do you have to go to God and beg and beg and beg and rant and rave? And no. He's saying if a human's like that, then shouldn't you be just a little bit more persistent in your prayer life when you're seeking the Lord? And listen, God knows what you have need of before you ask. We'll see that in a moment. I wonder how much time, this is just a side note, and we'll move on from it in a second. How much time do we waste because we pray in a way that in a sense is limiting God? Instead of us just saying, God, do whatever you want to do in my life. We'll pray sometimes so specifically that we're not open to anything else that God might have in mind. Think about that. We can get it so detailed that God may want to do something bigger. Better. Well, number two in our study together, it is this. How a Christian prays is with diligence. And audacity? Yes. And diligence, verses 9 and 10 teach us. So I say to you, this is Jesus speaking, ask and it will be given to you. The first thing that we see right here is that diligence develops hope in our lives. Hope. You never, or you should say you don't often think of prayer developing hope. But I want you to consider this, entertain this for a moment, that when we begin to pray and ask the Lord to move, church, listen, He is formulating an answer for us. Well, He didn't answer me right away. Don't think that His delay means denial. Oh, no, don't think that. Well, I've been praying and He didn't answer. Wait. Don't think that delay is denial of the request. God answers us in His timing. Okay, let's be honest. Sometimes He'll answer yes. Sometimes He'll answer no. Sometimes this is the worst answer of all. He answers wait. That hurts. God, do I go right or left? Wait. Are you His child? He's telling us right here, I'm going to answer you. Just don't think that my delay is a denial. Just wait. You know what sometimes I wonder? I know in my own life, I'm so glad sometimes God did not answer when I was praying because I wasn't ready for the answer. I knew what to ask for, but I wasn't ready for the answer. Huh? Hey, listen. It's summertime and people are meeting other people. Girls are meeting guys. Guys are meeting girls. There's love in the air. Pastor Jack, do you think this could be the man for me? I don't know. Pray about it. Will you pray with me? Sure. God, if this is the guy, great. If it's not, cause him to never show up again. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, I've raised daughters. I know how to pray. But people would begin to think, you know, Pastor, I just really pray that this is the man. Oh, no. Don't pray that prayer. Pray God's will be done. Yeah, I understand, Pastor, but you know what? I'm getting old. I'm 22, and he hasn't come yet. Mr. Perfect hasn't come yet. And I honestly say this. Now, just hang on a minute. You know, maybe you're ready to be married, and God's hearing your prayer. But what if Mr. Right, for you, ain't ready yet? What if God's got to get him ready? And she's never thought that before. Really? Yeah, maybe he needs another 6 months. Maybe another year. God's working some of this. A year. Hey, listen, girl. Don't cave in and settle for second best. God knows the man. Jack, can you flip that around a little bit for us guys? God knows the girl for you. Listen, be very careful. God knows what's best for you. Ephesians 3:20 says that it is the Lord who can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. Okay, all you singles, jot that verse down. Ephesians 3:20. Don't settle for third best. Look, in my opinion, you settle for second best, you might as well just pick 25th best. Because when you get away from God's perfect will, then ouch. When we pray, we can pray diligently and with hope because God's going to answer. Jesus said, so I say to you, ask. Listen to this word. In the Greek, the word ask means to crave, desire, yearn, and long. And it means in the Greek present tense, keep on longing, keep on craving, keep on yearning when you're asking this prayer. Isn't it amazing? Jesus is saying, when you go to pray, pray craving, longing, and stay at it. Don't give up. Why, is God deaf? No. Do you really want what you're asking for? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 8, Jesus said, your Father knows the very things you have need of before you ask Him. Well, then why do I need to ask Him for? Because do you want those things? If God knows what you need, and He's ready to give it, He's ready to hand it out to you. But maybe you and I don't even know that yet. Finally, we stumble across the Lord, and there it is. The Father knows that's it. There you go. In a moment, we're going to read about the kids asking for, can I have an egg? You want an egg? Yeah, I want an egg, Daddy. Here's a scorpion. Chew on that for a while. Tell me how it is. No father's going to do that unless they're Stephen King's, Alfred Hitchcock kind of fathers. Nobody does that. We're going to hear about that in a moment. Dad, can I have some bread? Can I have a bagel? Watch this, guys. Here, chew on this. It's a rock. No parent's going to do that. When we ask, God has an answer for us. He's not evil. Jesus will even say in a moment, you guys are parents and you're all messed up weirdos and you know how to give your kids good stuff. Your father who's holy and nice and loving and kind, he knows what to give is even better. He's so good to us. We can pray with hope. Not only that, verse 9 we learn, diligently we can pray because it causes anticipation. When we pray diligently to the Lord, we can pray and have anticipation about it. He uses the word seek. Seek and you will find. You ought to underline will. Look at this. Seek and you might find. Nope. Seek and you could find. No. Seek and if you're lucky, you'll find. Oh, no. Seek and you will find. The word seek is escalating up from the word ask. The word seek is this. Again, in the Greek present tense, keep seeking over and over again by how? Hunting, stalking, and searching it out. It's a hunting term. You know that great scene, that brilliant, manly scene of Elmer Fudd hunting the rabbit? Shh! He says, I'm hunting rabbit. He's seeking, hunting, he's prowling for it. That's the word seek. You not only ask, keep on asking, 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 craving. You take the craving of what you're seeking the Lord about this way by hunting after it. This is wild wording. We are to passionately pursue the Lord. Sometimes I like what Warren Wiersbe says. He says, sometimes we pray a prayer. We're not even paying attention to the prayer we're praying. So then how will we know in the day when God answers the prayer that we prayed for, if we weren't paying attention, if the answer comes, how will we ever know? Oh, God. Amen. Well, I got to get my coffee and go to work. And then God answers the prayer that you're blabbing. You weren't even aware of it. God answers. How can you thank Him when you don't even know what you prayed for? Oh, you know, God, get me to work on time. You don't even think because you're thinking about the oven or you're thinking about something else or the basketball game. And then God answers your prayer. You don't even know how to thank Him. Intelligent prayer. Diligent prayer. Anticipating in prayer. Mark 11:24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, Jesus says, believe that you'll receive them and you'll have them. Wow, that's praying with anticipation, isn't it? Don't you want, look, if you're sick, the last thing you want to do is have somebody come up and pray for you. Oh, I'm sick. Will you pray for me? Yeah, sure. God, we know you heal. I mean, we read about it in the Bible. I've never seen it personally. A lot of people get sick. It's no big deal that my brother's sick here. So, I don't know, God, I guess, you know, do whatever you want to do. And, you know, amen. Oh, boy. Look, if that's how you pray, do not pray for me. In fact, you want the best prayers ever? Like little Chloe. You get the little ones like that to pray for you. Listen, no matter what happens, I will succeed if the children's ministry is praying for me. You know why? They're so cool. God, Father, Lord, persistent and believing. Bless Pastor Jack. You think God's going to say to those little ones, no, not today. You know what? He may be upset with me. I think He'll still bless me for them. He's so good. Anticipation. We can anticipate when we pray. Now watch this when we pray, and you guys have done this. When we pray, we'll even check the time. Father, we're asking you now. Remember, we've prayed like this before. Lord, we're asking you right now at 10:30. Why? Because we're praying with anticipation and confidence. When the Christian prays in a diligent way, diligence produces confidence when we pray. If we stay at prayer, God's going to answer, builds more confidence. Knock. He uses a more intense word even still. Knock and it will be open to you. What an amazing thing. The word knock here means... the best word is kind of a funny word for us in this day and age, but the word means to rap. The word knock is the word rap. I'm not talking about singing a song. I'm talking about when you just knocking, you're rapping on that door. Somebody will say, "Will you quit your rapping? What is it?" That's what Jesus is using the word knock, 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 knock. Neighbor, open up. Knock, 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 knock. I mean, just driving you crazy. Jesus says, knock like that in your prayers. I'm convicted. How often do I do this? How often do you do this? Now, I know if we took time to go through everyone's story, I can tell you, maybe a couple of times in my life, I know I prayed like that. I was really sick one time for a long time. I remember praying like that. I was in a crisis. So I prayed like this. I remember when Ashley was 8 months old. She was at St. Jude's Hospital. They put her in quarantine, and the pediatric hematologist came out to us and said, there's about a 50% chance that she'll survive tonight. What? Oh, you'll pray like this. You'll knock the door of heaven down when you're desperate enough. Have you been desperate like that before? A brother in our church, a wonderful usher in our church, just lost his son, killed in an accident. Family distraught. You pray like that. I'm just so glad that our God is big in the difficulties. You say, Jack, I've never prayed like that before. Sit, listen to Him. When He gives you something, you'll start praying like this. So that when the crisis comes, you'll know how to pray. Church, I got to tell you something. And I am praying in confidence for this. I believe this is going to happen. It's not because I drummed it up. In fact, the whole thought came at a very depressing time for me. But I highly encourage you to pray, ask, keep on asking. Seek, keep on seeking, knock, keep on knocking. Why? Because you guys know that when I prepared for that 7-week-long study on exposing Islam in America, I got so depressed. You want to get depressed? Read the Quran. I mean to tell you, you'll get depressed. I was so depressed and gave those studies and I was so down. And the Lord began to strengthen my heart in the Word, the Bible. All right. Okay, great. And I got to tell you something. I went and bought recently a little journal. I encourage you to do that. Guys, we're not prone to journaling. And I don't even think I'm actually journaling. But you know what? God, I'm asking you to revive America, revive the church, send revival. And then you date it. July 22nd, 2007. And then I'm waiting for the answer. Number one, I believe I'm praying in accordance with God's will. He wants to do it. Number two, we need it. We need it badly, right? When you start praying like that, oh God, send revival, please, we need it. And then you start listening to the news, and you start seeing what's going on in the community. You start seeing what's happening in the world. And it feeds one another. Instead of getting depressed, God, we qualify for revival. We're messed up. We need help. The government can't save us. Nothing can save us. God, you can do it. God, please. And then you start asking, you start seeking, and you start knocking. And you're going to know when we start knocking. Because I'm not going to knock by myself. As a church, we're going to get together in the next few months, and we're going to start knocking on the door of heaven. God, hear our cry. Hear our prayer. And we're going to seek Him. And I believe He's going to answer. We can pray like that with confidence. And finally, under this point, the Christian prays with diligence, verse 10, because diligence creates assurance. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. What an awesome thing. Jesus is saying, you ask, cry out, seeking, knocking, the answer is going to come. Comfort's going to come. Relief will come. You see that in your life. Look, you guys, the letters are written in red. How do you get away from that? It's there. I mean, you got to look at that. For everyone who asks. And so it's incumbent upon you and I. We're the ones that have to ask. So we ask. but again, how desperate we are and how hungry are we and how sure are we? You might say to me, Jack, are you asking us to bug God? No, God cannot be bugged. I'll give you two pictures. One I'll give you right now, and the second one I hope I remember. When my wife Lisa used to work for Pastor Chuck Smith at Calvary Costa Mesa, and she'd see the people coming into his office. There are appointments, you know. I mean, there's stuff that came in. Pastor Chuck, Billy Graham's on the phone. Can you imagine? People coming in from all over the world. Appointments. You know who didn't have an appointment? They didn't need one. The cars would pull up, or the van would pull up, and kids would climb out. Little ones. You know who they were? His grandkids. And it didn't matter if the Pope was in his office. The kids, the little ones blow right past the counter, right past the pastors, right past the front office secretaries. The door flies open. And I saw this once in my life, sitting in his office. The door flies open. The kids come in. It looks like ants. They come in on the desk, sitting on his lap, putting M&Ms on the top of his head. Skittles all over the... He's loving it. The kids are completely just out of control, having a ball. It didn't matter if you're in the office or not. You were not his grandkid. The grandkids arrived. And it's the office, this very holy, solemn place. The door flies open. Papa, papa! All this mayhem goes on. Why? The kids came in. When we pray, that's how it's supposed to be like that. When we pray, the door flies wide open. We come right up into the Father's lap. Didn't you get that last week when Jesus said, when you come, say, Abba, Papa, Father? Run in there with this audacity. You run in. It's amazing. Secondly, in my mind, to ask, to seek, and to knock like this, to stay at it. This story is not so lofty, but it's practical. I remember, you guys... I don't know if your children are afraid of the dark, if they're afraid of the wind. I used to be really scared of the wind when I was a little kid. It used to freak me out. And when the Santa Ana winds used to blow, we didn't get them so bad in Orange County, but they would blow enough. I would think, the tree is talking. That tree out there in the something. Look, listen, what's coming from that? And you can't get out of bed because you can't. That's like the international rule. You can't get out of bed in the night because you're scared. Everybody's sleeping. Now the wind's blowing. So it's like this. Dad? Down the hallway. Dad? Dad? What? Is the house locked up? It's locked. Go to sleep. It's midnight. Dad? Dad? What? Is the dog in? Yes, the dog's in the house. All right. Well, you're scared. You want assurance from down the hallway. Dad, what is it? No, nothing. Why do you pursue? Because you want assurance. You want comfort. You want to hear the voice. We do that in life. As long as we do that for assurance, going to the Lord. Comforting. Wonderful. Third and final point this morning, verses 11 to 13. How a Christian prays should be with expectation. We are to be praying with expectation. And that is by trusting the Father. Verses 11 and 12, Jesus said, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Well, no. If he asks for fish, will he give him a serpent? Can you imagine? Can I have a fish sandwich? Yeah, here's a snake. Suck on this for a while. The guys are laughing. They're going, Peter, isn't that funny? Nobody gives a kid a snake. What's he talking about? This is funny. The kid asks for something, you give him a snake. This is ridiculous, Jesus. What are you doing this for? He's getting their attention. Your kid asks for an egg? You want to give him a scorpion? Hey, watch this. No. What a ridiculous thought. Jesus is exploding the scene in their minds to get it across to them. Why do we tiptoe and so cowardly with unbelief pray? Jesus is saying, go for it. It's a very sad day when people, Christians maybe even say, well, you know what, we begin to pray for Uncle Bob. People start thinking, well, you begin to pray, it's that bad? Like, you mean it's reached such cataclysmic proportions that you have now begun to pray? Oh my goodness. And people get on the phone, you know what, it must be bad, they're praying. It should never be like that. It should never be like that. It should be natural. Oh, they're praying. Hey, let's pray. Can I pray? You guys, true story. This is awesome. This week, I think it was this week. I'm losing my mind. It was this week. Seems like a year ago already. My secretary, Robin, who's the best secretary in the whole entire world, she's been with me for 15 years now. And that is amazing. Okay? Because she can quit anytime she wants. Lisa, she's married to me. She's got to stay. But Robin can leave. 15 years of putting up with me. And we went out to a restaurant. And Daryl, her husband, the waitress was there taking her order. And she walked away. And then we began to pray. And the waitress came back. And so she kind of paused, you know. And Daryl said, do you want to pray with us? And she goes like this. She looks. And then she looks around like she's going to pray with us. She's like looking to see if the boss is not looking. She looks and she goes, okay. She saw the audacity of Daryl, the boldness, the confidence, the assurance, the diligence, a room full of people. He's going to pray. And we go to pray. And what did it do? This is exactly what it did. We prayed in Jesus' name. She said, in Jesus' name. She walked away. She had to go back. She comes back and she goes, where do you guys go to church? Calvary Chapel. Which Calvary Chapel do you go to? Chino Hills. I go to Calvary Chapel Downey. She goes away. She comes back. And she goes, who's your pastor at Chino Hills? And Lisa, Robin, and Daryl point at me. And she goes, what's your name? I said, Jack. And she goes, oh my gosh, I listen to you every day at 4:00 on the radio. So she gets other waitress come over. I listen to you at 4:00 also with her on the radio. That's a crazy story. How did that happen? Someone had the audacity to pray and the confidence, not fearing anybody around, and it affected two other sisters in Christ. That is a wonderful thing. It encouraged them. You know that they'll be thinking about it the next time they pray. Oh, you know what happened? This is what happened. It encourages people. Why? We can trust our Father. He's not going to give us something weird. Hey, Jack, pray. Watch, Gabriel. I'm going to send a lightning bolt. We can trust Him. And then finally this, receiving the Spirit. Church, all of a sudden, this is, in fact, what verse 13, circle in your Bible. You can write in the margins. This has driven theologians nuts for 2,000 years. Verse 13. It's absolutely amazing. Up until now, what do you think this message is about? What do you think Jesus is talking about? Praying? Well, you can certainly argue that. Yeah, I guess it's about praying. How about being persistent? Maybe it's about teaching us to be persistent. Yes, you could argue that too. In fact, if you argued that in your class in seminary, you'd probably get an A. But there's a troubling verse at the end that throws a curve to everybody who's studying and everyone who's listening. Jesus sums up the whole thing. If you then, being evil, he's not insulting them. He's saying, if you guys are just mere humans and know what to do that's good, to give good gifts to your kids, how much more will your heavenly Father give you bread? Give you eggs? Give you what? Give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask. Okay, now wait, what? Where did that come from? Right out of nowhere, Jesus sums up the whole pursuit of, watch, asking, keep on asking. Seeking, keep on seeking. Knocking, keep on knocking for an answer. And we could fill in the blank and say, whatever answer you need. In this case, Jesus gives the illustration, the man needs bread. Ah, but Jesus ties it in beautifully and very romantically by saying, I tell you what, you pursue God like this when you ask Him for the Holy Spirit, and you're going to get Him. Now, right now, this is going to cause your denominational persuasion to go crazy in your head. You just need to sit still. We're just about done. But don't miss this moment. If you walk out now, you're just going to be dumb the rest of your life. Because this is very... Well, this is very important. I'm not even going to tell you what... I'm going to give you what he's saying, and then you can make up your own answer if you want to. It's your business. But here it is. He inserts the Holy Spirit. He's talking to those who already believe in Him. We're reading the words right now. Number one, what do we know? 1 Corinthians chapter 12 teaches us that the moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit moves inside you and baptizes you, not in water. The Spirit of God baptizes you into the body of Christ, and you're in the family of God. By the way, the word in the Greek is once and for all. One time He does it. He only has to do it once. Okay, you got that? Everybody got that? These guys got it. Do you have it over here? Okay, these guys have it. Do you have it over here? I'm joking. I'm just kidding. You guys felt it. I accepted Christ. The Holy Spirit moved inside of me. Great. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, by that I'm sealed unto the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit. Great. What's Jesus talking about? Something completely different. He assumes already the Spirit of God is going to be dwelling within those who are reading, hearing, that are believers. He's talking about the Holy Spirit coming upon you. To indwell in the Greek is the word en. It's to be in. En means to be in. It means to be indwelling, internal, inside. The word that Jesus is speaking about, the Holy Spirit, Paul talked about it in Ephesians chapter 5 and his book of Acts and other places, the Holy Spirit to come epi in Greek upon you. Remember when the disciples were together praying on the day of Pentecost? From John chapter 20 onward, they had the Holy Spirit in them. But in the day of Pentecost, they were praying and the Holy Spirit came, what, in them? Or, exactly, came upon them. And the Scripture says that whenever, for example, the apostles prayed or the disciples prayed to receive or have upon them the Holy Spirit, they spoke the Word of God with boldness. Or they went out and they witnessed. Or they sent the missionaries out to Asia or Turkey or whatever it might be. Are you with me? Do you understand that? This is what Jesus is talking about. You pursue God, asking Him, listen, every day for power, victory over temptation, ability to witness, opportunities to share God, to love on people you don't like. That's a miracle. God does that. To make your life count. To get above it all in Christ and to not be troubled by the menial things of this world. Jesus said, you pray like that? Always asking, 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 asking. Always seeking, 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 seeking. Always what? Knocking, knocking, knocking. For if you do this, your Father who loves you so much and has listened all the time and is very attuned to what you need and He's wanting to give you the power of the Spirit all the time, any moment, He's not like men of earth who take constant, you have to pull on them and say, Mommy, Mommy, Mommy. No, 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 no. Ask, stay at it until you get the answer. And when you pray today, oh God, fill me like this with the Spirit of God for victory as a Christian. God heard you. You thank Him and you get up and you live your life and you watch what happens to your life. Christian, I'm just talking to the Christian. You pray that today. We're going to pray it in a second. And you expect God to answer. Jesus said, when you pray, pray believing that you'll receive. And you'll receive, right? You don't have to knock the door down. Ask Him. Are you ready? Hang on. Put your seatbelt on. We're going to ask Him right now. Father, we come before You. And Lord, we ask Father, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ that we all as believers, as we seek You now, Lord, we are knocking together and we're asking You, Father, to fill us afresh with the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, that temptation would be conquered in our lives. And Lord, that those things that have been dogging us, because, Lord, we look to the powering and the empowering of the Holy Spirit, we're praying for victory now. Lord, we pray that by the power of your Spirit, you'd take away the fear that's in our lives. Maybe the insecurities. Maybe the decision-making. Give me clarity. Give us clarity. Give us wisdom. Heavenly Father, we pray in Jesus' name that we who are believers this morning would experience from this moment onward and as we ask daily for the renewing power of your Holy Spirit, that you would, Lord, do things through us that could not be done any other way. And then, Father, right now, I pray for those who may not know you at all, that you would not let them sleep tonight. Keep them awake. As the Holy Spirit would hound you to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, to have your sins forgiven, your sins blotted out of the book, your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and to be on your way to heaven. You have to accept Christ. And may you hear the Spirit calling you today. Believer, receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And may we go in the strength of our great God and Savior. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.